I'm Lauren Schiller, here with Inflection Points, Feminist Detective, in which journalist and author Ruth Whitman joins me to seek out sexism in all its tiny guises so we can make big changes. So today, the body positivity movement. We'll be right back. This episode of Feminist Detective that I recorded with Ruth Whitman is called The Case of Body Positivity. And we put it together back before the COVID-19 lockdown became our new normal. I went back and forth about whether to air it because with so many economic, political, and emotional consequences to the current state of affairs, talking about anything that isn't pandemic or now protest-related seemed insensitive. But we're starting to see the more subtle impacts of living in lockdown, like the COVID-15, that extra poundage we're acquiring from all the baking and cooking so many of us are doing. And that, combined with time on social media, comparing our bodies with other people's, looking at ourselves, our coworkers, and our friends on video conferences, all the time, what we look like and how we feel about how we look is pretty much inescapable. So with that, take a listen and let us know what you think about the body positivity movement and anything else you want me and Ruth to peel back the layers on. Email us at info@inflectionpointradio.org. You can write or record it in a voice memo on your phone and send it. Okay, here we go. Hey, Ruth.
Hi, Lauren.
So today, the body positivity movement. Ruth, what could possibly be sexist about this?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really tricky one. You know, the body positivity movement covers a wide range of different things. But at heart, it's this push to say every body type can be beautiful. You know, we don't have to constrain ourselves by these very narrow beauty standards. Young, white, and especially thin. And I think it's definitely a really important corrective in our culture. We definitely need something to kind of broaden things out a bit.
Well, even just as I was shopping for swimsuits last summer, which is the world's worst activity right now for someone of my age. But I noticed that there were all these different body types that were represented. And I thought, oh my gosh, like this doesn't actually have to be painful because brands are starting to think about the fact that there is not just one perfect body.
Yeah. So I definitely think it's a good thing that we're expanding our definition of what's beautiful. But I think the part where I start to feel a bit conflicted and a bit uncomfortable is with a particular type of social media post that's becoming more common. You know, these posts are almost exclusively by women with body types that don't necessarily fit those narrow constraints, you know, those young, thin, white constraints. And, you know, plus size women or maybe women who are just post birth, who have stretch marks or fat rolls or cellulite or all those other things that we all actually have, posing naked or in their underwear on Instagram and saying, look, I'm beautiful, we're all beautiful, F your beauty standards.
Well, you're saying it like it's a bad thing.
Right, so I give you an example. So there are these two writers that I follow on Instagram. One's a man and one's a woman. And they are very, very comparable. They both write about similar issues. They both write about mental health a lot, you know, social issues. They're both extremely accomplished in their fields. They both have written several books, have high profile columns. And, you know, I started following them both for their work, you know, to read about their writings, to hear their thoughts, their ideas. And then I started noticing that the woman was regularly posting pictures of herself in her underwear. And, you know, before she started doing this, I really hadn't given much thought to what she looked like or what body shape she had. And then suddenly, you know, there's all these pictures of her kind of semi-naked. And she is a plus-sized woman and, you know, she is happy to acknowledge that. And she was, you know, had all these hashtags saying, you know, beautiful at every size, beautiful body, body positivity, and, you know, writing captions about how we can all be beautiful. But then I realized that this man was not only never doing that, it was just inconceivable that you would see him, this male journalist, in his underwear on Instagram. You would never have him posting a naked picture of himself and talking about his, you know, his man boobs or his beer gut or his small penis or whatever other thing he was, you know, feeling insecure about. And so I think the problem is that there is a double standard here. And he gets to be a creature of the mind on Instagram. He gets to be valued for his thoughts and his ideas, and she just doesn't. You know, I think quite often you can do a kind of spot test as to whether something that sounds empowering really is empowering, is to kind of imagine someone in power actually doing it. And in this case, you know, to imagine a man doing that doesn't actually feel empowering. It feels kind of embarrassing and demeaning and maybe a little humiliating.
Now I'm sitting here feeling sorry for the men who don't have the ability to show themselves in their underwear. But I'm conflicted too, because I feel like any person that wants to feel confident in sharing pictures of themselves online should have the opportunity to do so. Although to your point, I probably wouldn't necessarily think that that's something I need to see from a thought leader or an academic. And B, I would be more surprised to see it coming from a man.
Right. And so, you know, let's be clear here. This is, you know, when we say people sharing photos of themselves naked, we do mean women. You know, we are talking about a pretty much exclusively female phenomenon. And, you know, the thing is that she's trying to bust these beauty myths, you know, by saying let's broaden the range of what's beautiful. But what she's really doing, you know, she's still letting beauty set the terms of the conversation. She's still saying for women, beauty really is the only gig in town. So no matter how accomplished or creative or successful you are, you still, as a woman, have to kind of endlessly relitigate this question of how physically attractive you are. And even if you're broadening the definition of what that means, we're still reinforcing this idea that really beauty is the only mark of value. You know, it's the only path to self-worth. And you can't just opt out. You know, as a woman, you can't just say, actually, I'm not beautiful and that doesn't matter. You know, in the same way that I'm not a gifted athlete or I'm not a talented musician. You know, these are not options. We're sort of buying into this idea that beauty is everything.
So we have this equal opportunity to show our bodies on the internet in whatever way we wish. That's the movement. But what does this mean for feminism?
So I think this is a really tricky one, because although we're talking about empowering women, we are still just absolutely reinforcing this notion that women are judged on their looks, and that we need to keep talking about what women look like. We need to put our bodies up for appraisal on the internet. And even if we're slightly changing the terms of what that means, we're not really changing the conversation. You know, we're still saying beauty is at the heart of everything. And actually, I'd rather just say, look, screw you, beauty. Let's change the topic entirely.
What is the bottom line here?
Well, these really are complex questions, but I guess one takeaway for me is, you know, actually, it's okay not to be beautiful. Beauty is great. You know, we all appreciate it. But it's one thing. And somehow, by trying to expand the terms of it so much, we're making it everything. You know, I just wish for once that as women, we could just start talking about something else. You know, forget about what we look like and start enjoying what we think and do and create and everything else we have to offer the world.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thanks, Lauren.
Listeners, tell us what your experience has been with this topic, and tell us what else you'd like us to uncover. Well, not like that. Record an MP3 file into your phone, keep it under 1 minute, and send it to us at info@inflectionpointradio.org. Ruth Whitman is the author of America the Anxious, How Our Pursuit of Happiness is Creating a Nation of Nervous Wrecks. You can find her and sign up for her emails at ruthwhitman.com with 2 P's, and we'll put a link to it on our website at inflectionpointradio.org. I'm Lauren Schiller. This is Inflection Point.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PRX.